The overwhelming feeling was just relief. Up until that point, I felt like I'd lived my life as kind of half human. And then from that point, I was like, I'm fully human now. I can relax, I can de-stress, I can take some of the pressure off myself.
That's Pappy, and he's got a story that goes deep. That's not even meant as a sexual innuendo or anything. I mean, he gets deep about pressures of being a teenage boy, ego, sex, self-sabotage. Also, a sugar glider and the Rotary Club get a mention. Trust me, it'll make sense in a bit. I'm Indy Simons, and we're uncovering real stories about popping your cherry, losing your virginity, having sex for the first time. Whatever you want to call it, we talk about it deeply on No Longer a Virgin. So for now, strap in, because we're going back to Pappy and we're going to cover a lot.
So I was 22 and a half years old, and I actually lost my virginity at a music festival at a Buschdorf known as Rainbow Serpent. And I was invited by a close friend of mine at the time. It was a time in my life where I'd gone through a sort of personal development type program a couple of years earlier through the Rotary Club, and it had just changed my life. And I'd met all these amazing people, and one of them I became close friends with and invited me along to this music festival. A few days before, I thought to myself, I better look up this festival and what it is and where it is, and realize that, yeah, it was all like electronic DJ music. And I'm into that sort of thing, but I wasn't not super into it. And I realized that the music at this particular festival doesn't stop. So it starts, I think, early on the Friday morning, and then it goes through until the Monday. So there's DJs playing at all hours of the day. And I thought, oh, geez, what have I got myself into here? But I was just really open to just having experiences at that time. And so I went along to the festival, and I was a virgin at the time. And on the Saturday night, I found myself just feeling quite sad, profoundly sad about the state of my love life. And would I ever lose my virginity? The older I get, the harder it's going to be to, I guess, lose it. I'd sort of look around and I would see people at the festival making out and having a great time. And I'd think, am I ever going to lose my virginity? Am I ever going to fall in love? Am I ever going to be in a relationship? My younger brother had already been in some, and all my mates had lost their virginity years earlier. So it really, really weighed heavily on me. There wouldn't be a day that go by where I wasn't thinking about it or anxious about it or worried about it or upset about it. And yeah, I just found myself feeling really sad on the Saturday night. And I just went out to the main dance floor area, Market Stage, it's known as. It was, I don't know, might have been around midnight or something. And I was wearing a donkey onesie and was just loving life. I was there on my own, just dancing. And I happened to come across this girl in a sugar glider onesie, and we hit it off. I don't remember a great deal of the specifics, but I remember, I think it was just kind of I happened to be in a onesie. She was in a onesie, kind of dancing, enjoying the music. Can't remember what, if there were as a conversation or it was just sort of bodies meeting in the night. I think we would have hit it off and talked about the fact that we were wearing silly onesies, I'm sure. I do remember at some point, I think we might have sat down, and then I might have suggested, should we perhaps go to my tent or to your tent? And it sort of unfolded from there. And I lost my virginity to her in her one-person tent. And it just felt like I sort of floated back to the campsite where I was staying after that experience, because, yeah, I just had so many years of this being a huge monkey on my back. And I can't imagine it would have been a particularly amazing experience for her being my first time. I'm actually, this might sound strange, but I'm actually incredibly thankful that my first time happened at a random music festival in the middle of nowhere in a big paddock. It lowered my inhibitions. So going into that experience, I wasn't feeling a lot of pressure or anxiety around it, because I was just kind of pretty in the moment and my inhibitions were a little bit lower. And I think that had I lost my virginity in an experience where I was with someone that I knew or was sort of dating, and I mean, I can only speculate what I would have been like, but I do actually feel thankful that my first experience was at a random music festival and just caught up in the moment, because it allowed me to sort of lower my inhibitions and not place quite so much pressure on myself.
This story is like a really good time capsule of the very early 2010s with the onesie and the Buschdorf. But that aside, Pappy had finally had sex for the very first time. And because he'd worried about it for so long, you better believe he was that keen to spread the news.
I remember distinctly, I went to one of my good mates' houses after the festival. I think I might even have gone potentially straight from the festival to a mate's house because they all were really in my corner. I remember getting out of my car and walking up the driveway and, yeah, my mate's saying, yeah, it looks like you got a bit of a swagger to you. And I told them that I'd lost my virginity. And yeah, I think I had two mates there and it was just like wild celebrations. It was really fun. It was really cute. And I think one of them bought me a slab. So that was incredibly fulfilling. And the overwhelming feeling was just relief. Up until that point, I felt like I'd lived my life as kind of half human. And then from that point, I was like, I'm fully human now. I can relax. I can de-stress. I can take some of the pressure off myself.
Half human may be a weird way to describe not having sex. I mean, it would be amazing if we got superhuman powers after we had sex, like the ability to fly or get telekinesis powers or something. But it does make sense that Pappy kind of felt that way because sex and virginity had played on his mind a lot.
I placed just so much pressure on myself and just thought about it all the time. And I felt really alone. I felt that a big worry that I often had was that the longer this virginity went on, the harder it would be for me to get laid and, you know, develop a relationship. For many years, a lot of it for me was not around, and this is not healthy. I can recognize this now, but for so long for me, my thoughts were not around building a healthy, empathetic relationship with a woman. It was about, I need to get laid so that I can say I'm not a goddamn virgin. That was my entire worldview, which, yeah, again, is counterintuitive in itself. And I definitely felt alone. And I knew that a lot of my mates had lost their virginities. So when people would say things to me like, oh, you're probably not the only one feeling this way, or it will happen, you know, it just felt like it felt empty to me. It didn't feel helpful when people would be like, other people are feeling this way, or don't worry about it, it's going to happen eventually. That would just annoy me at the time. And so, yeah, that's why this personal development experience I went through in 2011 was so profound for me.
This is the second time that Pappy's spoken about this personal development course, which obviously had a massive impact on his life and sex life, which I'm sure wasn't really the point of the course. So let's find out a little bit more about it.
I was sponsored by the local Rotary Club. I was working cash in hand for someone at the time making cardboard boxes, and he was a member of the local Rotary Club and he sponsored me to go on the camp. And I almost pulled out of it because I didn't know anyone on the camp. It was this completely foreign experience. I'd never done anything like it. It's a week-long personal development and leadership program. There are just so many activities each day which are just designed to give you the opportunity to just explore more about yourself, learn more about yourself. So because no one there knew who I was, I just had, or I felt total freedom to just completely be myself and learn more about who I was. And really for me, it was just like, it was just an awakening to who I am as a person. I knew deep down that that was part of me and part of who I was, but I'd never done that stuff because I was like, I don't know what the boys are going to think. They'll probably think this is a bit weird, or like, you know, maybe I'll get called gay or something, and all that sort of thing. And yeah, so I just never did it. But because there were no expectations on who I was at this camp, I was free to just learn about what I love doing. It was the first time that in my life that I really felt like I could fully, properly just be myself. And so that was, I really feel, the start of the process of me losing my virginity, because it was the first time that I ever was like, oh, I can actually be myself. And I started after that week being a little bit more comfortable exploring who I was, expressing who I was, saying things that I might not normally say, doing things I might not normally do because I was worried about what the boys would think.
Who would have thought that the Rotary Club, of all things, had a hand in Pappy's virginity story? Now, something that has come up quite a bit is the term the boys. So who are they and why are they limiting Pappy's growth so much?
I think when I'm referring to the boys, I'm referring to just the culture of high school and the culture of being a young male and, yeah, just what the societal pressures or the stereotypes that you have to be as a young man. It was just all down to just this societal pressure that was all of it was unspoken for all of us, and no one is to blame, and I wouldn't blame anyone, but it was just the way that we grew up. And those stereotypes were that you talked about sport, you didn't discuss really your feelings or anything sort of more serious that was going on. It was all based around laughs. It was based around banter. It was based around quotes from Anchorman and Step Brothers and just having a good time and living for the weekend and stories from the weekend and what'd you get up to on the weekend? How'd you go in footy? And that was the sort of the culture that I found that we lived in every day. And I loved a lot of that culture. I loved the banter. I loved the fun. I loved the laughs. I loved going to watch my mates play footy on a weekend. There were so many things about that culture that I loved. And I'm actually still really, really close mates with a lot of the guys that I went to high school with. I'm still really close with them right now. And yeah, their friendship, particularly my close group of friends of probably about six or seven blokes, yeah, really got me through the latter years of high school and early 20s. I felt like I had a place or a group that I belonged and I was respected and I was listened to and people would laugh at my jokes. And so that might sound a bit counterintuitive because I'm also saying that I didn't feel like I could express myself fully. But I think part of that was that I just didn't know how. And I remember a conversation from around the time when I was 15 when I was sort of seeking advice, like, how can I get better with girls? And someone told me, like, you can't talk about F1 or you can't go and talk about Pokemon, two things that I was really into at the time because girls aren't interested. Like, it's just nerdy stuff. You don't talk about it. You got to flirt. You got to treat them mean to keep them keen, all this sort of thing. The irony in all of this was that the moment that I started being myself, which began with this program, and the moment I embraced who I was more and more, the more I was able to, I guess, attract towards me, or I just started having better relationships with women and with all people, because all of a sudden I wasn't doing something because that's what the rest of the boys do. But the moment I sort of started embracing who I was, which was hard to do, but once I started doing that, my life got better. And I just didn't really have any like role model or person around to sort of who could just say, you know, be yourself. I'm sure my parents told me that a million times, but as a young teenager, you don't really listen to your parents.
That was incredibly insightful and probably the closest I'll ever get to understanding what it's like to be a teenage boy. But Pappy's made it through this. He's finished high school, he's taken a program that pretty much changed his life, and now he's had sex, so it's all smooth sailing from here, right?
I definitely feel that in the next few months, I kind of became quite cocky and was a bit of a dick at times. I think that because I'd spent so long not having sex, not having relations, not having intimate relationships, it was kind of like I was making up for lost time. And so I was jumping on dating apps and going on dates. And yeah, over the next probably year or so, like I got laid a few more times with different people, and that just like kept building my confidence. I'd go and I'd meet someone and we'd end up sleeping together, and I'd wake up the next morning and feel, you know, 10 feet tall, like I'm awesome. I'm finally living life. And that was a really great feeling, but I feel like what it led to was, yeah, just this bit of cockiness and arrogance that I started carrying around. It was like I'd had all this sort of pent up sexual energy and it was being released, and I'd spent my whole life being, you know, not having a great deal of self-esteem, not being super confident, and now all this stuff was happening and I was having success with girls. I was just loving myself all of a sudden. And yeah, that had a few negative impacts where there were a few times where, yeah, I just turned into a bit of a dick. There were times when I said things or did things with close female friends of mine that were, yeah, really not nice. And yeah, I know that I made several women feel uncomfortable emotionally, physically. And I think a lot of that came from this bravado that I now all of a sudden had that was kind of running unchecked. And yeah, there was definitely a lot of experiences between sort of 23 and 25 where I look back on now with regret. I'm really thankful that a few close female friends respected me enough to sit me down and have a chat with me. It took a lot of courage and guts for them to sit me down and do that. I can't imagine it would have been enjoyable, and say, hey, that thing that you said or you did, yeah, it made me feel like shit. and I'm really upset. And I was like, fuck, I can see that. I'm really sorry. And then also in saying that, like, I know me apologizing doesn't really do or fix anything. Like, the only thing that's going to sort of make things better is from changed behavior. And so I just sort of slowed down and began to examine some of my behavior and, yeah, just started becoming more self-aware. I'd have more conversations with people. I'd ask, you know, women more questions. It was also a time that I really started using Twitter a lot more. And so I started following a lot of feminists online, Clementine Ford being one of them, and just reading and consuming their content. And yeah, my views just sort of slowly began to shift. I was like, yeah, what these people are saying really resonates with me. And it was a slow, steady progress of just like, cool, how can I sort of rebuild trust and just start to be a bit of a better person?
That takes huge courage to sit a friend down and have a difficult conversation like that. But Pappy's actions at the time, sure, were a bit to do with a building ego, but ego isn't confidence. And at the core of the problem, that was what he was lacking.
A huge, huge thing for me in this time was self-sabotage. So I am someone, I've had hundreds of crushes on girls in my time, and all the big crushes that I've had were girls who didn't feel the same way about me, which is completely fine, of course. But there was some part of me that was like, it's like it confirmed this core belief that I spoke about before, that I'm sort of unworthy. Or there was part of me that loved like going home from a night out with a crush who didn't feel the same way about me, and I'd put on sad music and it was just the best, even though, again, that sounds counterintuitive. But how it affected like my ability to develop relationships was that those relationships were never going to work out, but I invested so much time, energy, thought into them. And then there were potential relationships with other girls who that could have gone somewhere. But I was like, oh, I don't feel that strongly about them, and I'm going to focus on this relationship that is definitely not going to go anywhere because that feels more fun. And what I actually realized over a long time seeing my psychologist was that I'd get into these self-sabotaging patterns where I'd actually stop pursuing a relationship with a girl who actually did like me or did feel something towards me, because that would mean I would then have to face into the fact that I am actually worthy of being liked, and then I am worthy of being loved. And then, yeah, I finally met someone who I'm still with now. I met my partner at 25, and that was probably the third relationship that I didn't self-sabotage, but the first relationship I actually felt like I stepped into and faced this could be a thing and this could be a relationship, and I'm going to have to commit and I'm going to have to deal with all this stuff. That was the first time.
We've witnessed some amazing growth in Pappy. And sure, it's taken us like 20 minutes to get there. It took him a little bit longer than that. But with everything he's learned, he's actually passing that knowledge on and doing his best to be that role model that he needed in his teenage years with his work through an organization called The Man Cave.
I want people who are in my position to know that, you know, it's okay and you don't have to load all this pressure on yourself, and you can actually be a good person and girls or whoever you're into will still like you. In fact, they'll like you more if you're just being yourself and you're being authentic. For me, it really just feels like a way that I can give back to the world. And a lot of it stems from just me trying to be a better person and just wanting to be a good role model for young boys and show young boys that, I think teenage boys get told a lot that you have to be a certain type of way to be seen as a good male, as a real man. You have to be, you might have to treat him mean to keep him keen. You have to play sport. You have to drink. You have to be strong. You have to be this. You have to be that. You can't display any traits that might be considered feminine. You can't be a good person or you can't seek to do good or treat women with respect, because then you'd be a pussy or you'd be gay, which is completely ridiculous. And so, yeah, for me, I'm on this journey to show young men that, like, you can just be yourself and you can live a really happy, healthy, successful life, and you can prevent harm in doing that.
That's Pappy. And, wow, we got through a lot in that time. His experience is a really good lesson that our quest for sex should never be about clocking up numbers or just to get a story to tell friends, but there should always be mutual respect. Always. One of the biggest things for me, though, was hearing how having just one person sit him down and tell him how uncomfortable his behaviour made them feel was like flipping a switch in his brain. That conversation shouldn't just be the responsibility of the person on the receiving end of uncomfortable comments. You can have that conversation with anyone. If you want to learn more about the amazing work Pappy and the Man Cave are doing, look them up on Instagram at themancave_Oz. Thanks for listening to No Longer a Virgin. To keep up to date with more unsexy sex stories, follow No Longer a Virgin on Instagram or click the follow button wherever you're listening right now.